if you can't figure out a way to pay people more to entice them to come to work at your restaurant, then maybe you don't need to own a restaurant.
From the Coin Podcast Network studios in Portland, Oregon, this is Six Questions with Emily Burris and Ian Costello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
About the same.
Yeah, busy week. You know, we are once again chatting back over the phone.
Yes, here we are back over the phone.
I was thinking about this, Ian, yesterday. I was like, did we jinx this? Was this our fault? Because literally last week we were so excited to be back in the studio together and everything seemed like it was going so well. And here we are.
And then it wasn't.
Oh, man. And now we're masking back up and we're distancing things out on set again, which is absolutely the right thing to do. Don't get me wrong. Please don't mistake my tiredness with life for disagreement. You know, I think science is good and we should continue to listen to it. I just wish we were done with this.
Yeah. Okay, so did we cause this? Did our excitement
to feel some normalcy?
Right. Did that throw us in a spiral that ended with us basically back to masking up, social distancing, and being at home? No.
No. I think a better blame might lay with the millions of people who still have not gotten vaccinated,
right,
or who are walking around maskless if they're not vaccinated.
Right.
Yeah.
We have, I think, done a very good job on these podcasts staying apolitical, but the science is there. I believe in science. This is the right decision to separate us back out and work from home while possible and that kind of thing. But get the shot.
Right. I think that's part of the problem is this has become political and science and medicine should not be political.
Right.
You know, there is a lot of research out there now on the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. They're not a new thing, although they were, you know, put together at quote unquote warp speed and rolled out very quickly over the course of a year, which is a marvel of modern medicine. They're based on things that have been in the works for years, you
right.
know?
Right.
So
and you and I have both done quite a bit of reporting on that.
Right. Along with our reporting right now that shows that over 90% of people who are hospitalized and dying are unvaccinated.
At
this point, it is truly a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but we're all having to suffer the consequences. And I think, you know, we saw what happened last year, right? We don't want to go back into lockdowns. We don't want the economic consequences that could very well follow if we don't get a handle on this thing. So please, everybody, do your research and get your shot.
I was telling my wife last night, it does bear some similarities to March 2020 in not like the quiet downtown streets and that kind of thing, because that kind of stuff I'm used to, but just the way that I feel like I've mm-hmm. got this, I don't want to call it impending doom, but just this feeling that we were so excited to be on the other side of this. I feel like, I gave my dad a sports analogy last week. It's kind of like we had a wide receiver catching a long touchdown pass and they get to the 10-yard line and just drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how close we actually were, but it felt like we were really close.
There have been a few things that we've fumbled in the final yards over the course of the last couple of years here. But, you know, I hope we're not headed for a full repeat of some of the things we've already seen, because that would be frustrating.
It would be frustrating.
To say the least.
Yes. So I'm going to go back to the first question we had on this. Did we cause this? I don't think we did, but I happen to be a believer in karma. And in listening to your conversation with Garrett, I was so pleased to hear how headed into the pandemic, right after he got his restaurant open, he made a decision to really, really focus on taking care of his employees. And he has continued to do that. And now as we are starting to come out of the pandemic, as things are getting back open, it appears that karmically he's being rewarded because his restaurant is slammed.
Garrett, as you will hear, is all about good vibes. If you're unfamiliar, we're talking about Garrett Benedict. He is the chef and owner of G-Love, one of Portland's newer restaurants. It was much buzzed about, you know, when it was getting ready to open. And they opened in 2019, shortly before the pandemic, which, you know, for a lot of restaurant owners would seem like terrible timing. But I think, you know, Garrett, in his ever optimistic take on life and his ever-present optimism and positivity, has looked back on this time and basically said, this was a chance to trial by fire, you know, to pressure cook things for the restaurant and gain about a decade's worth of experience and knowledge over the course of about 18 months. So unfortunately, as we've seen, a lot of restaurants and eateries have not survived the pandemic. So I think it's a testament to, you know, not only the food and what G-Love is creating, but also to the people and to Garrett and who he has in place, that they've been able to not just survive this past couple of years, but really thrive. Let's get started here. First off, I have to ask you about G-Love, about your restaurant, and in the name. I read that this came from a childhood nickname of yours. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. When I was about 14 years old, one of my good friends gave me that nickname. And I actually didn't even hear about the band until a couple of years later.
Yeah. That's a cool nickname.
Yeah. It's basically followed me around most kitchens that I've worked at. That's kind of what people have called me. So when I was thinking of what to name the restaurant, I couldn't really think of anything else.
G-Love. It just stuck.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a nickname. I don't know. Sometimes M, but you know, nothing quite that cool. It's a fitting name though for what is your first restaurant venture, right? But before we get into that, I want to kind of go over a little bit of your background.
Okay.
Because you've been in kitchens since you were a teenager.
Yeah.
You have cooked in some of the finest restaurants in the world. I mean, just kind of take me through your journey into the culinary scene.
Okay. Yeah. So I started cooking professionally when I was 14. And I got into it at a very young age. I read a book when I was 14 called Becoming a Chef. It's by these two amazing authors, Andrew Dornberg and Karen Page. And, it was all of these interviews, with chefs, mixed with recipes, but mostly just, kind of excerpts and, kind of interviews about what kitchen life is like. And I just tore through the book in about 48 hours and basically made up my mind then at age 14 that I was going to be a chef. And so I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. And so in my hometown, my first job was at an Italian restaurant called Orso, and started there. Ended up working in restaurants all throughout high school, in addition to school. When I was 19, I moved to Cleveland, Ohio to work for Michael Simon. He's one of the Food Network Iron Chef guys and all that stuff now. But this was actually before those times. And worked for him for a couple of years and then went to culinary school in St. Helena at the Culinary Institute of America. And landing there was basically the best choice that I could have ever made in terms of where to go to culinary school. All of the restaurants in Napa are just so amazing, and there's such a high concentration of really, really talented chefs there that I couldn't have really picked a better place to go. And so in addition to going to culinary school there, I also got the chance to work at the restaurant at Meadowood, which tragically last summer burned down in the wildfires. I was there and working for Christopher Costow, who he's the first American born or the sorry the second American born chef behind Thomas Keller to get 3 Michelin stars. Mm-hmm. And I worked for him when he was, God, he was younger than me. He was 31 years old at the time. And it was an amazing experience to be in a kitchen of that caliber, but also be working with or for a younger chef that is still kind of pushing and trying to break out and make a name for himself.
Totally.
And so that experience was just, eye-opening, mind-boggling, just fantastic in every way. I felt like I had never worked in a restaurant before. That's what that experience felt like.
Wow.
His food and his cooking style was just, it just blew my mind. And so I stayed there for a few years. And then another really, really important kind of touchstone for me, for my career and my journey in cooking and kitchens, was working at Ubuntu. And Ubuntu was a kind of groundbreaking vegetarian restaurant in Napa. And the chef was Jeremy Fox, who he's very, very well-known chef. He's down in LA now. But while I was there, we received a Michelin star, and we were the first vegetarian restaurant ever in the entire world to get a Michelin star, which was pretty insane.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. It was huge. It was kind of this amazing, amazing moment for the entire crew. And what was so foundational for me about that experience was that Ubuntu had a partnership with a farm that was about 15 minutes away. And so we would get anywhere from 90 to sometimes like 95% of our produce from this farm. And the creativity that that forced us into, only really being able to cook seasonally and only with what the farm had, really pushed the food to a different level. And that really kind of set the course for me in terms of wanting to eventually have my own place that also had a partnership with a farm.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really interesting because that mirrors in a lot of ways what you have done here in Portland with G-Love. So this is your first venture into owning your own restaurant. Yeah. What made you decide that it was time to set out on your own and try and do this? And why Portland for that location?
That's a great question. So number one, in terms of feeling like it was the right time, my most recent job prior to opening G-Love was as the chef de cuisine at Al's Place, a restaurant in San Francisco. And it was important to me to have a position where I was running essentially the entirety of the day-to-day operations in a restaurant to make sure, I guess, to prove to myself that I could do it, number one, but also just to get all of the necessary experience and go through all of the day-to-day kind of trials and tribulations of running a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So once I had that experience, I felt ready. And then as far as landing in Portland goes, I mean, I've always loved Portland as a food city. My high school girlfriend went to college at Lewis and Clark. So I started coming here when I was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I always kind of in the back of my mind thought that I might end up in Portland as kind of a restaurant owner. But the main reason was that 9 years ago, my parents bought a farm in Silverton. And so they bought it for their retirement, but I basically instantly co-opted that retirement and told them that I wanted to have a restaurant in Portland.
Buying a farm for retirement doesn't sound like retiring.
right. Yeah. It's kind of a different idea of retirement, I guess. But, so they purchased this farm in Silverton, and over the last 9 years, they've been building up the infrastructure and putting in irrigation lines and greenhouses and walk-in coolers and doing all sorts of things. And 3 years ago, they used this amazing website called Oregon Farm Link. It links together farmers with landowners. And they found these amazing two farmers, Jay and Jordan Youth, who now live on the property, and they operate Old Moon Farm. And that's who we're partnered with.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique setup.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a website that's like almost like online dating for farmers land.
It's Tinder for farmers. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So having them close gave you that keystone piece of having that farm to table element.
Exactly.
Was that a priority for you in opening a restaurant? You're like, this has to be part of the concept.
Absolutely. 100%. After working at Ubuntu, I there was no other option in my mind. The advantages to having a partnership with a farm and working really closely with them it can't be overstated. The guests might never really actually know why it's the best tomato that they've ever tasted in their entire life. But the fact is that tomato was picked yesterday morning and now it's on your plate. And so those are the differences and those are the advantages that you get from working really closely with local farms. So we work with Old Moon Farm as much as possible. And right now in the peak of summer season, we're getting probably about 75% of our produce from them.
Wow.
And then the rest of it, I'm going to farmers markets, working with all sorts of other local farms to supplement as well. But sourcing ingredients locally is so important for chefs. And in terms of just the baseline flavor of the dishes that we put on the menu at G-Love, it makes the biggest difference in the world.
Yeah. So G-Love, you've billed yourself as Portland's reverse steakhouse. So tell me a little bit about the thinking and the concept behind your restaurant.
Yeah. So I never could really stomach the idea of opening a fully vegetarian restaurant. I'm not a vegetarian. I love cooking with fish sauce. I love cooking with, you know, salmon and pancetta and bacon and different things like that. So I could never really stomach the idea of going fully vegetarian with my first restaurant. The idea was actually given to me by my little sister. And her idea was, well, what if you, it was literally like perfectly wrapped up with a bow on it, the reverse steakhouse concept. She said, what if you were like a steakhouse, but instead of the side dishes like spinach or grilled asparagus being the vegetables, what if the side dishes were the meat? And so that's literally exactly what we do.
Yeah.
So our main stars of the menu are all of our vegetable focused dishes instead of steaks. And then our side dishes, instead of being vegetables, are all smaller 4-ounce portions of meat and fish.
That's really interesting. I mean, as someone who considers themselves a flexitarian, right? Like I try to stay mainly plant-based and plant-focused in my diet, but I don't cut anything out just because I don't know that I'd ever truly be able to give up cheese. That's a hard one for me. But you know, I enjoy like everything. I try to be, you know, mindful of the impact that it has on my health and the environment and all of that. Uh-huh. And it's interesting. Sometimes you go to, you know, you find vegetarian or vegan spots and I think people psych themselves out of trying certain things or trying certain diets because they feel like it has to be so this or that, black or white, you know, you fit yourself inside this box. I mean, do you think that concepts like this might help kind of change the way we think about some of those diets?
I mean, I think so. You can't really ignore the fact that farming practices are having an impact on climate change. Right. Mm-hmm. And so even though we're not, you know, going completely vegan and not using animal products in any way, the fact that we're not serving 16-ounce portions of meat and we're serving much smaller portions of the proteins and focusing on locally grown vegetables, I think makes a huge difference. And again, I mean, we're only one restaurant. So it's not like we're changing the world or anything, but the fact of the matter is that if more and more single and independently operated restaurants move in this direction, I think it's going to help things out in the long run. But as far as the dietary choices go too, that's a huge benefit to our concept at G-Love, because I always looked at it as, you know, the couple where one person is vegetarian and one person is not, and they can both come to G-Love and both absolutely leave happy 100%. There's kind of something there for everyone.
No one's relegated to the one salad on the menu.
Exactly.
They all have choices.
Yeah. And we have so many vegans and vegetarians that are regulars of ours that constantly tell us about how amazing it is to have a restaurant where basically their dietary choices are more or less the focus. You know, we have 75% of our menu can be made vegan or is vegan already. And the vast majority of our menu is vegetarian. And so putting a focus on those types of dishes is it's really important to me. And I think it's a way for us to build even more flavor because we're using all of these diverse varieties of locally grown produce.
Is this something you looked at doing prior to your time at Ubuntu and some of these other restaurants? Was vegetables kind of a relationship that you've cultivated over time?
It's absolutely been cultivated over time. There's no way for me to ever claim that the idea for G-Love or the genesis of the concept of G-Love has, you know, been in my mind forever. But it's been something that as I've progressed through my career and these really, really important kind of foundational restaurants that I've worked at, they absolutely influence you. And so my time at Ubuntu was transformative. I spent the bulk of my cooking career, about 10 years in California, first in the Napa Valley. And then after a brief stint on the East Coast, I spent about six or seven years in San Francisco. And so cooking with fresh produce is obviously very, very easy to do in California. And so that's something that I just, you know, I kind of just fell in love with that style of cooking.
So you spent, you know, the better part of two decades in all these different restaurants, learning all of this stuff. And then you decide to open your own restaurant and you come to Portland and you set up G-Love. And then not too far down the road, this thing called COVID-19 comes into the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you were still a relatively young, new restaurant when we really got into the pandemic last year. How has surviving all of that been as a restaurateur?
So, we were open for 6 months before COVID came about. And it's something I actually think about a lot is that we were so lucky and it was just so random that we happened to actually be open for 6 months prior. If we had only been open for 2 months prior, I don't know if G-Love would still be in business, frankly.
Wow.
We having those 6 months was just enough time for us to build a little bit of a following and have a regular clientele base that was going to be enough to kind of sustain us through that pandemic time. I knew that opening my own first restaurant was going to be difficult, but I could have never guessed that the first year would involve a global pandemic. Where we're at now from the current vantage point, I feel like the silver linings for me as an owner far outweigh the difficulties in navigating our way through the pandemic. We've been open less than 2 years, but honestly, it feels like I've learned about 10 years worth of restaurant ownership lessons
because
of COVID.
And
all of the various, you know, pivots and adjustments and all of the changes that we've had to make. And basically, the most important thing that I've realized about being a restaurant owner is adaptability. And when Governor Brown first put us into lockdown in March of 2020, I refused to close. I didn't want to abandon my neighborhood. And more importantly, I think for me, I didn't want to lay off my entire staff. Unfortunately, I was forced to lay off all of my hourly employees at that time. But I felt like if I also laid off my management team, that G-Love wouldn't come back because I was essentially going to, quote unquote, break up the band, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so I kept everybody in the management team on payroll, and we pivoted to takeout and delivery. And we did that for 100 days before we were able to open our patio space. And that was the most difficult point of the pandemic, because that was when it was so, everything was so up in the air, as you remember. Nobody knew what was happening. But at the same time, part of what restaurant people thrive on is energy and atmosphere. And you really draw your energy from dinner service and from interacting with guests and having people around and music, and it's a party and it's fun. And so when all of that was taken away from us for so long, it was incredibly draining. But now it's been so amazing to have people back. This spring, especially, we've just reopened our indoor dining this past week, actually. So we just completed our first week of indoor dining.
Oh, excellent.
Which is an amazing milestone for us. And we're just so happy to have people in our dining room again. It feels great.
I can only imagine. How has it been in this rebound that we've seen this spring and summer? It feels like over the last few weeks, just all of a sudden, a switch flipped overnight. And as a city, you know, Portland is back. There's this new energy. There's people out, you know, window shopping and walking and eating outside. And I think part of that is just the fact that the city comes out of hibernation every summer. You know, but I think the other part of that is, as we've been able to really kind of reopen and people are getting vaccinated, and hopefully, you know, we're able to turn a corner on this pandemic. Have you been able to keep up with the rush of people who are ready to go out for a bite to eat?
We just barely, basically.
Yeah.
So we've we just had our busiest week ever pre-pandemic as well.
Wow.
We're basically setting new records for the restaurant almost on an almost daily basis. Every single day, it seems to get busier and busier at GLove, which is amazing. And we're so fortunate that we have so many people that are supporting us. And the staffing issues have been difficult to deal with. There was a stretch about 3 months ago where for a solid month, I was looking to hire all positions and maybe had two applications total for the entire restaurant. And that was brutal. That ended up actually forcing us to curtail our operations. We've always been open for 5 days. And right now we're open 4 days a week, Thursday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's strictly because of staffing issues. But now business is going so well that we're eclipsing our 5 day sales in 4 day weeks, which is so unbelievable. And especially with this last week, introducing indoor dining again, and we're about to open up the bar seating in a couple of weeks as well. And so everything just seems like it's growing and growing and growing. And you know, you mentioned everybody kind of coming out of hibernation, and I feel like that's happened, with our staff as well. The team that I have right now, at GLove, and everyone who works there, in every single position, it's the best crew we've ever had. And it's really, really cool to see this amazing energy within amongst the entire crew and the entire team. And the morale is just through the roof. Everybody is just so happy, along with the guests, that we're all able to kind of have a little bit of a return to how restaurants used to be, in a way.
You know, we have seen over the last couple of years, there's so many different issues. There was the racial reckoning conversations that are still continuing from 2020. We've seen, you know, the restaurant industry has not been spared from the Me Too movement and some of the conversations about harassment in the workplace.
Yeah.
And now, as we have this economic comeback from the pandemic, there's a lot in terms of what people are looking for in a job and what they want out of their workplace and what they're willing to, you know, return to work for. What are some of the things that maybe have changed for how you look at your business? Are there things that you're doing differently now as a business owner and maintaining your work environment as a result of just all of the things we've experienced over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that this past spring, just in terms of touching on the kind of employment aspect for GLove, that's obviously what's kind of hit most close to home for me as a restaurant owner. But we've changed a few things that, have been so positive, and, these are going to be permanent changes for us. Number one is, moving from 5 days of operation to four. This spring, we reopened in March. We were closed for a little bit in the winter. And we were at 5 days of operation. And after about 2 months, I was watching my entire workforce, our entire staff at GLove, just be basically ground down into a paste because we were so busy, but at the same time, we were so short staffed. And so everyone was just working so hard and it was starting to negatively affect people's energy, mood, attitudes at work. I'm a diehard eternal optimist. And I really, really like for the morale to be as high as it possibly can be during the workday at the restaurant. And so at that point in time, moving down to 4 days of operation was the only choice that we had, really. It was more a choice of necessity. But we've been in 4 days of operation for about 2 months now. And even when we go back to 5 days, I'm going to be keeping the entire workforce on 4 day work week. That's something that is a huge, huge change for us, but also it's going to be, it's the most beneficial and positive change that I could have ever made because the restaurant industry is a very, very tough industry to work in. It's very manual. It's intense, and physically demanding. And so having that extra day off is just makes all the difference in the world. We've always offered healthcare for our employees since day one. That's something that's really, really important. And over the last couple of months, we've raised wages, across the board, for the entire staff. So I came from a bit of an old school background in terms of thinking about compensation for specifically for the kitchen. The restaurants that I've worked at and the career that I've had, it's always been the money doesn't matter and you just have to work for the passion and the job and you have to find the right place and don't worry about how much you're making because as a cook, you never make much. It's always been historically a very, very underpaid, undervalued job. And my mindset was always that I'll just work for the best chefs that I possibly can and in the best restaurants that I possibly can. And then eventually there'll be a payoff and maybe I'll make a little bit of money. And this spring has completely changed that outlook. I used to apply that same outlook, to staffing at GLove. And, you know, cooks receive tips at the restaurant, but I would always pay them minimum wage. Now I've raised all back of house hourly wages to $16 an hour. And with tips, everyone basically makes over $20 an hour in the kitchen at GLove, dishwashers included. And this is something that, again, it was an eye-opening experience for me as an owner. And being able to actually hire employees is the only reason that we can operate as a restaurant. Without employees, without people to work in the restaurant, we're nothing. And so it's always been very important to me to treat everyone who works at GLove with, you know, fairness and equity in mind and take care of people as much as I possibly can. And that's just been underlined this spring with all of the staffing shortages and the adjustments again that we've had to make.
Sure. And I think we've seen as a society too, I mean, all of these jobs that are considered essential workers, you know, that the people that we were trying to keep in business and trying to keep in work for the last 2 years now, you know, food delivery, food service, all of our restaurants, grocery workers, you know, all these jobs that I think people are now really taking a step back and hopefully, you know, on all sides, reevaluating, like, what are these careers worth? You know, I mean, these are literally people that are keeping our economy and our country running day in and day out.
I had somebody mention to me, it was just a really, really important, kind of mindset change for me, this spring. Where it was my former general manager. She's no longer with us, but she's moved on to open her own food truck with her husband. And one of the things that she said to me was when we were in the depths of our hiring crisis, where we just couldn't find anyone. And I was grappling with how to entice people to come work at the restaurant. She gave me this amazing moment of just extremely tough love. And it was like, look, if you can't figure out a way to pay people more to entice them to come to work at your restaurant, then maybe you don't need to own a restaurant. And it was such an amazing, I don't know, such an amazing statement. And it really hit home for me. And I've, you know, since then just fully embraced the idea of how do I maximize the benefit for all of the workers at GLove? How do I help them make as much money as they possibly can in this position? And wow. So we've been so fortunate that we're very, very busy restaurant. And so tips have been fantastic lately. But also, you know, raising that base level of pay across the board has been super important, and it's changed everything. We've been able to bring on some amazing people since then. And so kind of keeping one step ahead of that and making sure that we're paying people properly, providing them healthcare, giving them 4-day work weeks, embracing positivity at work and having a really positive, non-toxic work environment is so important.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, music in the kitchen, Chef Garrett's picks for the perfect cooking playlist.
The Coin 6 Weather Team has the most accurate forecast in town, certified by WeatherRate. Coin 6 Weather, watching out for you.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin 6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by WeatherRate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.
You mentioned that you're big on atmosphere, and I know, so when I'm at home sometimes, not often, but sometimes I'll try and actually like put a little effort into my cooking. You know, usually when I'm cooking for just me, it's like I meal prep for the week and
yeah, of course.
Food is fuel and I'm very boring about it. But then every now and then it's like, oh, I have an evening. I can actually like have fun with dinner. Uh-huh. I have become very big on like, I have to have like a dinner playlist going. Like I got to have some good music in the background, whether it's like a little bit of like bossa nova or some acoustic, like they're just, it's depending on what I'm going to cook. Like I want there to be a good vibe.
Yeah.
And you strike me as like a good vibes kind of guy. Uh-huh, so what's some of your favorite music to cook to?
That's such a good question. So we always have music. Music is such a big part of my life. And it's such an important thing for just, you know, tuning your mood throughout the day.
Yeah. And
I personally love music from the 70s and
okay.
soul, disco. I really, really like the Bee Gees a ton. We listen to a lot of Barry White radio. We listen to a lot of Al Green. We listen to a lot of the Bee Gees. We basically, that's my go-to in terms of during service, and that nice. That vibe, that high energy, and it's kind of music that everyone can recognize, and it's high tempo, and it keeps the energy levels up. That's usually our go-to during service, and when we have guests in the dining room, and then obviously during the prep day when nobody's there, it's anybody's guess. We've got a lot of different cooks at GLove, and everyone's always fighting over the remote, so to speak. So we listen to all sorts of different music during the mornings. But
nice,
yeah. I think 70s as a decade is our main focus at GLove.
Do you think that music can for any of us home cooks out there? Do you think that music can improve your cooking? do you need a good playlist to have a good dinner?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're honestly, I believe so strongly in the power of music to change your day-to-day outlook. and just your actual view of the world. I absolutely believe that 100%. If you're listening to upbeat, positive music, then even if what you cooked maybe isn't the best thing in the world, you're probably going to feel a little bit better about it. But if you're listening to, you know, sad, low tempo ballads, then maybe you're going to be depressed that the meal you made for dinner wasn't the greatest thing in the world.
That's the music that you put on when you're just getting the pint of ice cream out of the freezer. That's the
exactly.
That's not the cooking playlist for sure. That's funny. What about Portland has been good for you? Not even just in terms of your business, but what is it about this city that has been fun to call home?
Everyone is just so damn nice. It's ridiculous. and so that's been my favorite part about Portland.
Yeah.
But I mean, also it's the sheer volume of amazing restaurants and food trucks and food carts. It's rare that you find a city where any neighborhood that you're in, you're less than a half a mile away from some amazing place to eat. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a very unique attribute that Portland has, and especially with, you know, how accessible everything is, with all mm-hmm. of the food trucks and kind of casual style of dining. Mm-hmm. That's been my favorite part, without a doubt.
Do you have a favorite? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite place to go? Favorite food cart or?
What's at the top of your list? In the food cart range right now, Farmer and the Beast. Oh, so they're just near G-Love. They do smash burgers and fries and milkshakes, but then they also have these like amazing, wonderful salads. Jeff Larson, the owner of Farmer and the Beast, is also a regular at G-Love. Our businesses are only, you know, four or so blocks away from each other. And so I think there's a mutual admiration and respect there. I love supporting Farmer and the Beast, without a doubt. As far as a full service restaurant goes, Jacqueline over in Southeast is without a doubt my favorite restaurant in the city. Love it.
I haven't been there yet.
Oh, you gotta go
check it out.
It's in the old St. Jack space. So St. Jack used to be there. It's over on Southeast Clinton. It's just fantastic. Derek, the chef owner, is just doing amazing things with seafood. And the last time I went with my wife, we ended up eating about 36 oysters between the two of us. So it's an amazing place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Farmer and the Beast, that's a great cart. Twice now I have gone there telling myself I'm going to get a salad and get there and the smash burger. It just looks too good.
And it is too good.
I know. I can't say no.
Yeah.
So, I am eventually I'm going to go and get a salad one of these times.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
check
it out.
You should. They're delicious, honestly.
It is. It's a super awesome spot.
Yeah.
So what else do you like to do when you are not cooking or eating or, you know, enjoying food in any number of ways? How else do you like to spend your time?
You know, my wife and I recently got a puppy during the pandemic. And
a pandemic pup.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we don't have children. And so the transference of that, those emotions and feelings onto a pet are so real. And so, on days off, I love just, you know, spending time with my wife and our puppy. And during this time of year, just trying to get to the water at some point in some way, whether it's, you know, Sabi Island or driving to the coast or, you know, the Santiam, anything that we can do to, just hang out with the pup. And, it's interesting. As a restaurateur and as a chef, your work days are so intense and chaotic and just filled with activity. And they're extremely social because you're constantly working with in and around other people. And all day long, communication in kitchens is so important. Everyone's always talking about what their prep list looks like and what's next and what they're behind on and all of these things. And so I find myself when I have days off, just really wanting to kind of unplug and kind of decompress, just take a much more low key approach. So, that's really how I like to spend my time off and my time away from the kitchen is really just, you know, focusing on the important things.
Definitely. Everyone needs those days just to veg out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
and catch your breath.
Yeah, exactly. Recharge.
Yeah, I think that's becoming even more important now as we start to get back into a little bit more normal of a day to day. You know, I feel like all of a sudden the calendar is very busy again. There's all this stuff, and I'm finding it hard to like say no to things or make sure that I'm having an evening to just like
absolutely
be at home.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the mental health effects of this pandemic, I mean, I only have one lens and I filter almost everything that I see through that lens of the restaurant and the restaurant world. But I feel like we're starting to, or have already been seeing the mental health, I call it the afterglow of the pandemic, mm-hmm. where it's not just a switch for everyone. And, you know, everything's reopening so quickly and everything's opening up so fast. And there's so much positivity and optimism, but at the same time, it's not just a switch that people can flip and go back from a year of being cloistered in their apartments and kind of locked down to, oh, all of a sudden everything's just the same again. And so I think that, paying very close attention to mental health is extremely, extremely important. And, you know, that's something that I'm always trying to kind of talk to my employees about as well. It's just really, really important to take care of yourself mentally and being able to have those days to unplug and recharge and just take care of yourself, whatever that means, is really, really important.
What do you see as the future of GLove and what's next for you? Or are you planning to stay in Portland and try and expand and grow things here?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually, so it's funny. It's an out of body experience as a young, restaurant owner, or as a new restaurant owner, I should say, when you start getting cold call offers to open second locations. And that started happening to me recently, which is so bizarre and strange. But I think it's a great sign. It shows that you know, we're having some measure of success with GLove. But my main focus is and will be for the next couple of years maximizing the potential of GLove specifically. I think that it's a very common theme that restaurateurs struggle with their second concept. The first one is the flagship. Massive success. Everyone loves it. And then you stumble with the second one. And so that's something that I've always been very wary of. And I think that if we were to ever open a second concept, it would probably be a bar, to be honest. We would serve amazing food. But I think that a bar would be the way to go for the next round. But to be completely honest, I have so much that I still want to accomplish with GLove, that the idea of opening a second place is just really not even on my horizon right now. I would much rather just maximize our potential and, you know, really kind of capitalize on everything that we can possibly do with GLove and take it as far as I can. And then and only then, maybe then we could start thinking about, you know, what's next. But for now, it really does feel like when we reopened this past spring that it was our first opening again. So, you know, it almost feels like GLove is only 5 months old right now instead of almost 2 years old.
you had an 18-month soft opening.
Yeah. One thing that I was saying to people was that it's rare that you get the chance to open your first restaurant for the second time. And that's what we got to do this spring. So I got to correct all of these things that I wanted to do differently the first time around. And it was this amazing opportunity. And now things are just going so well and our team is so amazing and everyone is just gelling and the teamwork is through the roof and everyone's so happy at work. It's just such an amazing thing to see that I really want to just see how far we can take it and how amazing we can possibly make it.
And, you know, it's not a standalone bar, but GLove has a great bar and you guys do all these awesome cocktails are very, you know, farm to table inspired and fresh and seasonal and all of that too. So what is your go-to drink of choice?
Oh man. Whiskey soda.
Okay.
It's super simple, but I that's my go-to. That's just a classic. It's easy. It's easy for me to make. I'm not a trained bartender, you know? And so, sometimes on a day off or something, if I want to just kind of kick back and relax, that's what I'll go to. But if we're talking about drinks, in a bar setting that somebody else is making for me, I mean, man, I just love cocktails. I'll always steer towards a mixed drink versus beer or wine. That's just a personal preference of mine. But I think that's part of the reason why our cocktail program at G-Love is so amazing, is that I love cocktails so much. So I almost kind of put as much focus on that as I do on the food and in the kitchen. Our vegetable inspired and produce inspired kind of seasonal cocktail menu is amazing. In about a week and a half, we're going to open up our bar seating again. And I know how excited our bartenders are for that. They're just like kind of chomping at the bit, waiting to have people sitting in front of them again. I mean, it's been 16 months. So that's really, really exciting.
It's so cool to see some of our newer restaurants hanging in there and making it through this pandemic. I know everyone was really worried when everything really hit the fan, you know, that this was going to be really tough. And it has been super tough on the industry. But, hopefully with places like yours, we're going to see some of that talent and that passion for food staying here in Portland and giving life to new fun ideas and new good things for the city.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the most important missions of ours at G-Love is being a beacon of positivity. And just G-Love is a place, and I think that all restaurants are a place where if things are done right, you can go there for an hour and a half, 2 hours out of your day, and forget about all your other problems for a little bit and just be immersed in a different part of life. And that's why I love restaurants so much. I just love the fact that we get to put on a party every single night, and whatever's going on in your life, whatever trials and tribulations you're going through, hopefully when you come to G-Love, you can just forget about all of that and just let your hair down and just have an amazing time and, just really be kind of virtually hugged by the ambiance and the positivity that we have just flowing through every facet of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. All those fresh veggies and fruits, it is love on a plate.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Well, Garrett, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me on. This has been fantastic.
Good luck with the bar seating reopening and everything coming back, and hope it stays busy for you.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you again.
Do you listen to music when you cook?
Yeah, that's what I was telling Garrett. I sometimes, if I feel like I need the vibes to be right, you know, I like putting on a little like bossa nova or some jazz, something that's kind of like good background filler that just kind of helps like set the mood and make cooking fun.
You asked Garrett if he thought listening to music while you cook could make you a better cook. Do you think it makes you a better cook?
You know, I think it does, only because my alternative is usually the television. Especially because I'm alone a lot in my condo, and I always have to have some kind of background noise. I don't like sitting in silence. I don't know what that says about me, but I will turn the TV on sometimes, and I find myself distracted if I've got a show on. I'm always like trying to read the recipe and then look up and then, oh, wait, how did I already add the baking soda? Did I forget? But if you have music on, it's easier for me to still kind of stay focused on the food, which I think would then lead to things coming out the way you intended. So I think it does make you a better cook.
Well, I would think if you are listening to relaxing music, you should then be more relaxed, which then should make you enjoy what you're doing better or enjoy what you're doing more. And therefore, generally, when you enjoy what you're doing, the results are better.
Right.
You're more...
At least better to you.
Right. And frankly, who else are you cooking for?
Exactly. Are you a good cook?
Sorry, I just called you...
Sorry, who else are you cooking
alone?
For?
Who else you are live you alone?
You young millennial all by yourself. Well, sometimes I feed Sam pieces of food and he likes it. So
okay.
Sam is my dog for anyone who's confused. Are you a good cook, Ian? Do you consider yourself a home chef?
Yes. I consider myself somebody who's learning and loving to learn. I've got some standbys that I think I'd throw up against any other home cook. I love my grill. I spend a lot of time standing in front of my grill, especially now as we're remodeling our kitchen and I don't have a stove. We've got an induction burner, a toaster oven, an Instapot, and my grill. But no, I really enjoy it. And I really love learning, even through osmosis, watching Top Chef, watching Iron Chef. I can't do those things, but there are things that I can learn from that to make me better in certain areas. And yeah, I enjoy the heck out of it. It is one of my standby Zen things to do. Mm-hmm. And being an only child, I spent a lot of nights growing up in the kitchen with my mom as she was cooking for my mom, my dad, and I. And I mm-hmm. picked up a lot just by watching over and over and over again. And now to be in a place where in a life place where I can spend some time doing that and learning to be better at it, I love it. I would really like to be able to cook anything I want or be brave enough to try to cook anything I want whenever I want to.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. I didn't realize until I got a little older, I grew up in a household with both parents. My mom and dad are both very good cooks. And I think you don't realize until you get out and start trying other people's food how good you have it at home.
Yeah.
And I learned a bunch from my parents too. And you know, watching Food Network with my mom, it was one of the few channels that we all could agree on watching together. And you know, for someone who I'm a pretty type A person, I like to have a routine and a schedule and I'm a big rule follower, right? For some reason, cooking is the one area where I don't have to follow all the rules. Like, I feel like I know enough of the ground rules and the parameters now that I have fun experimenting or finding recipes that I can tweak to work with the ingredients that I have in my fridge or in my pantry. That's fun for me. It's like a puzzle. And I don't know why, because in every other area of my life, I'm like, but the book says to do this. in the kitchen, I'm like, yeah, I think I'll add a little bit of squash in here and see what happens, or add some extra spice, or, you know, it's fun. It's fun to play around with.
You going to cook anything this weekend?
Good question. I've got some salmon that I need to use up. I might do a little kale salad, you know, with some salmon, and make a vinaigrette out of whatever I've got in the I've got like half a lemon in the fridge. I can make that into a dressing, and you know, it's a lot of playing around with what's in my fridge. What's on the menu at Chateau Costello?
It will be grill heavy, obviously. And I think in-laws are coming to town this weekend. We haven't done pizza on the grill for them yet, so we'll do a couple pizzas. And then being that we're four Montanans living in a house, there will be meat and potatoes of some sort.
Well, grill's a good place for all that stuff.
Oh, good grilled potato. Whew.
Mm-hmm. Happy cooking.
Have a good weekend, Emily.
You too, Ian.
Thank you for listening to Six Questions on the COIN Podcast Network. You can find our entire podcast library available on demand on COIN.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.